Kids Hope's been running for how long?
So we're in our 17th year. We started in 2004. Kids Hope was auspiced by World Vision, as you would know, in Australia, and was with World Vision for the first 10 years. And then 2014, we separated into an independent not-for-profit and have been a standalone organisation since then with World Vision support and partnership still. And obviously Tim Costello is still our patron and a big supporter of what we do. Yeah. So we've been almost 7 years now independently around Australia.
Do you know any of the scope of Kids Hope nationally and also United Church involvement?
Kids Hope, it sort of fluctuates, especially COVID's been a tough period totally. For us, and we've had a bit of a drop-off on some of our programs, but we're around the 250 churches associated with Kids Hope nationally. Victoria is our stronghold in Kids Hope because it was started here, and so more than 50% of the programs are here in Victoria. And then the Uniting Church would be in our top three denominations with well over 35 programs nationally. I think it's 33. And 20 of those are here in Victoria. 20 programs out of 250, it's about 8% of our whole Kids Hope representation is Uniting Churches here in Victoria. So it's a very significant relationship and partnership. And I think it just speaks to the Uniting Church in itself that it's a community-minded denomination. Op shops and serving our community is right at the heart of what you do, and Kids Hope just fits into that brilliantly in the Uniting Church system.
I often talk to churches about connecting with schools, and I'm conscious that most of them go, well, there's a school down the road, but we don't know how to connect with them. This seems like an easy way to connect with schools without frightening them with religion, if you like. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think specifically in Victoria, where religious education was taken away from us, literally by legislation and not being able to go to school. So I think churches did become a bit gun shy about what can we do in a school? You know, do they still want us? And I can confidently say here that schools still want support from their local community. And Kids Hope, like you just said, is a perfect avenue. It's a foot in the door. It's an opportunity to, yes, mentor children, but it opens the door for you to serve the school in many, many other ways, not just mentoring their children, but also your church becomes the partner in the community to serve them for other needs, whether it's doing the barbecue at the school fete, or my dad, he's at the Uniting Church down in Phillip Island. He's a coordinator of their program down there with their local school. And he, last year before COVID, they got invited, the Kids Hope program, and all the mentors got invited to go and run the school barbecue at the school fete, and they were able to set up a table, and the mentors were able to interact with the kids and the families and the teachers. And Kids Hope, to me, even though it's about giving hope to children, that's our ultimate aim, but it's also a wonderful community engagement opportunity to connect beyond the schoolyard and to be able to help in other ways. Working bees, helping out with breakfast clubs. Our Kids Hope churches get fully engaged in the church, in the school community.
Oh, it's really about building a relationship, isn't it?
It is. It's a partnership. That's what we call it. You know, it's a church and school partnership in the community. And the schools are crying out for connections. They've got families that are struggling beyond just needing a mentor for some of their kids. There's families that are destitute, that are financially in trouble, and what better way for the church to serve than give out some food hampers or provide some furniture to a family that needs some help. So it opens the door to families within those school communities that the churches can reach out to and support in other ways.
Is this something that schools want? That would be one question that churches ask. Or are we going to try and sell them something that they're not interested in?
It is a challenging one, because I think our original introduction to you, Craig, was with a waiting list of schools. So we do have, I have over 20 schools in Victoria that want Kids Hope. And so there is that opportunity to connect those schools with a local church. But it can be hard the other way of trying to sell the concept to a school from a cold call perspective. But because we have such a great reputation, we have a lot of references, we have a lot of principals that endorse our program. So I hardly ever get a complete no from a school. It just sometimes takes a bit more work to try and sell the concept and promote the opportunity within a school community. And probably COVID has added to that. Schools have got lots to worry about. They don't necessarily need to be adding new programs when their schools are closed and they're trying to just teach their kids remotely and all those challenges that they're experiencing. So I think what we'll find, and I know you're going to ask this question, that COVID is going to create a demand greater than we'll probably be able to meet once COVID settles down and schools open up again. We're already hearing from chaplains and psychologists and school wellbeing experts that they're really worried about their children when they come back to school, and that something like Kids Hope is going to be needed greater than ever.
You certainly had me thinking that schools would be nervous to take on something new, but for those who are doing it, for any school knows that the challenges for families and students are huge, right across the board, from how are we going to buy food this week because no one's working in our house, to parents who can't cope and kids who don't cope with online learning and are isolated.
I spoke to someone yesterday who's she's a carer in a school, so she just has one child that she looks after. They just came out of lockdown, and so she hadn't seen this child for 2 months, went into the school, and she said the chaos that was happening within the school on that day, because kids didn't know how to handle the excitement of being back at school, the stress and the anxiety of what they've been experiencing through lockdown, transferring from online learning to face-to-face learning. And she said the child that she actually supports in the school was just bouncing off the walls. They're just like, and so just imagine a whole school.
I'm imagining the teachers, yes.
And the teachers. And so a lot of these kids are going to come back with significant social and emotional challenges, which is what Kids Hope specializes in. That's what, you know, our mentors help the children develop socially and emotionally. Yeah, I think the demand is going to be huge, and schools are going to be looking for mentoring, for wellbeing programs that are going to support their kids that are going to be challenged more than ever. And that's let alone, like you said, the really high needs kids that are dealing with domestic violence or separation or financial and poverty issues and all those kind of things. And, you know, people moving a lot.
Given the protocols that you would have around how adults contact children, has it been possible for mentors to maintain a relationship with some of the kids during COVID?
Yeah, so our existing programs, some of them would have struggled because the school would just be unresponsive and they're just too busy. But a lot of our programs, and it was great to connect with a few of our experienced coordinators who've had programs running for 10 or 15 years in their school. And so they have a great partnership. And so they've been able to work with their school's Kids Hope design during COVID last year, a pen pal program. Obviously, the mentor couldn't see the children face to face, but we encourage them, just send something to the school, send a letter, send a postcard, send you know, a picture, a photo of yourself, or send an email to the school contact, so then the school can pass on that information to the child. We've heard some great stories of how mentors have then received something back from their child because the school's been able to coordinate that. But we had one of our coordinators say that every 2 weeks she would gather a package of goodies from all of the mentors. They'd send it, I'd drop them at her house during lockdown, and then she would go to the school, and she said, I had to stand at the gate and like sort of pass it through the gate to a school contact who would then take it into school, and they would either post it to the families, or they would, you know, some of the kids were still going to school, and because a lot of high needs kids were still able to access schools. And then the other thing we've done is some online mentoring. Obviously, we have to take a lot of care in terms of, like you said, protection of families and of mentors and of the children. But a lot of the schools have initiated school meetings via electronic means. So some of the schools have facilitated where the kids can call their mentors through the school WebEx system and actually have a face-to-face Zoom meeting or WebEx meeting online. So that we've, again, heard some amazing connections that have happened between mentors and kids through Zoom as well, just so the child can see their mentor and keep that connection and stay connected. But for those that are looking to start a new program, Craig, and, you know, obviously that's part of what we're talking about. Obviously, you wouldn't start a relationship electronically or via pen pal. So, yeah, we just have to patiently find the right timing when schools are opened up again here in Victoria and we're able to. And it may, like you said, be 2022 that we're working towards starting some Kids Hope programs. But now's a great time to plan, time to prepare. And as we've talked about, the need's going to be greater than ever. So let's be prepared.
Thanks. I think in terms of where our churches are at, the message I'd want to give them is we know our community's struggling, and at the same time, we're all kind of sitting at home wanting something to do. And so can we think about next year, when we hope that schools are functioning more normally, how might we contribute? This is a good opportunity to think about how a few folks from your church, how many do you need to start?
Our average program has around 6 or 7 mentors, but we have some that have 2 and we have some that have 15 and we have, you know, it all depends on the size and the demographic of the church. It can start with 2 or 3. So a coordinator is really important. So just someone to step up and lead the ministry opportunity and be trained to coordinate and lead the program on behalf of their church. We will be providing training, a couple of opportunities in Term 4. So that churches could get prepared for next year and start planning and preparing to get into the schools in 2022.
A church is thinking of getting started. I mean, they should really contact Kids Hope, shouldn't they? Like, what are the steps?
That's my role, is community engagement and connecting churches with schools. And so, yeah, I'll be the point person to introduce the program, hopefully have a school connected, help them connect with the local school, and then work with them to find a coordinator to take the first steps of getting a leader for the program and getting it started. But it starts with a vision, doesn't it, of an opportunity. And so it needs the engagement of the whole church community. Kids Hope works best when it's part of the DNA of a church community, like Mount Eliza and St. John's. The ministers would say, we all know about Kids Hope. It's part of the DNA of our mission, of our church. And then the next step would be, yeah, to work with me to take them to training and to integrate with their school. And then so the training of the coordinator then instigates the recruiting and the screening and the training of the volunteers. And that's the responsibility of the coordinator, is to then build a team of volunteer mentors and to get them prepared to go into the school.
Obviously, part of the hump too is adults in the church going, oh, being a mentor to a young person, they, what have I got to give? You know, they just think I'm a boring old fart or something, you know?
Yeah, probably stories are the best way to sell, especially to elderly folk who maybe don't feel confident that they've got anything to give. But if you're a grandparent, if you're doing that already with a kid, just imagine it's just a kid that you don't know and you're just sitting there playing a game, pulling out some cards, reading a book, doing some knitting. Whatever your hobby is as a person, you can usually integrate that into a mentoring relationship with a young child, because they're usually like sponges. They like to learn. They like to experience new things. You know, my dad turns 80 next year. He says his mentoring is one of the greatest experiences he's ever had. He was really nervous about, what do I do? But he's found ways. He has to play basketball with his kid just to keep him happy, you know. My dad loves it. He just laughs and giggles and they have a great time. And I suppose it's those kind of stories. It's not meant to be difficult. It's meant to just be, turn up and give it your best, and the kids are going to respond no matter what to whoever you are and whatever you can offer.
I like the fact that it's not lots of program preparation, or it's really about you being present and being attentive.
Correct. We don't have a curriculum. They don't have to do any research before they go in. A lot of our mentors will do some preparation, or they'll have a toolkit of goodies that they take with them to the mentoring session. But generally, it's just sitting down, having a chat, playing some games. Yeah, we want to make it as flexible and as simple as possible so that the mentors don't have to feel stressed about preparation time and reading curriculum material and all those kind of things. Yeah, it's about just being you, just showing up is all that these kids need, is just someone to be there and just be there just for them. That's the power of Kids Hope.